everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday. Tomorrow's the first full day. I don't know, perhaps partial day, but it is the first day of autumn. So we're wrapping up summer 2021 here in Tucson, Arizona. Of course, summer comes early and stays late, as we all know. We're on our 11th year already here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. On 10:30, our call letters KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. And joining us now on the live line, Republican gubernatorial hopeful Matt Salmon, a former Arizona state senator, a former chair of the Arizona Republican Party. He also went on to serve four terms in Congress, two terms in the late 90s, then another two terms from 2013 to 2017. He's currently vice president for governmental affairs in the Office of Government and Community Engagement in Tempe, up at ASU. Congressman Salmon, good to hear from you again. How are you, sir?
Great to be on the program. Thanks, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about the centerpiece of this campaign. What are you building it around?
Well, first of all, Bill, I just wanted to correct something. I am not currently the vice president of community and government affairs at ASU.
Oh, okay.
I actually quit 3 months ago, and I had a difference of opinion on a few things, and there were some things that I just didn't agree with, so I left, and so I'm campaigning full-time for governor, and thank you for asking. Actually, Bill, the situation in our country has quickly deteriorated in the last several months. I don't think I'd be running if everything was going smoothly. I think I'd let somebody else do it, but the stakes are so high right now. I look at what's happening on our southern border, listening to the news, you see the heartache and the crisis that's going on right now with the Haitians. And, it is a human rights crisis of epic proportions. And we've got to do everything we can to stop them from coming illegally into the country, not just the Haitians, but, Governor Abbott. I had a long conversation with him a couple weeks ago about what they're doing in Texas. And since the federal government is not doing its part to stave the literal invasion that's happening in our country, we have to step up to the plate, and we have to do what we can and what we need to do to protect our own sovereign borders. So the first issue with me is protection, and that would be first and foremost. I believe that if the federal government isn't going to do its job completing the border wall, then we will get it done. And we will make sure that we enforce Arizona laws, and that just like Governor Abbott said, I believe that if they come across and they trespass into our state, that we have the right to incarcerate them and to remove them. I want to send a clear message. President Biden may be throwing out the welcome mat to the United States to illegal aliens coming across the border, but in Arizona, that's not the case. The second thing on protection would be standing up for the blue. I am sick and tired of hearing people talk about defunding the police. I couldn't be more pro law enforcement. And I want to do everything I can as governor of Arizona to make Arizona the place where being a law enforcement officer is a place where you'd be proud and happy to do it, because we got your back. And to make sure that those that assault officers, that they're properly dealt with. The third thing on protection is election integrity. I think it's reasonable that every citizen of Arizona, when they cast a vote, that they have to prove that they're a citizen of the United States and a citizen of Arizona. Heck, if you go in and you order a beer, you have to show an ID. If you go and get a library book, you have to show an ID. If you go to the airport, you have to show an ID. Why shouldn't you have to provide an ID if you're voting? And on the mail-in ballots, there's no voter ID requirement. The second thing for me is the economy. I want to lift the whole state when it comes to economic development. I know that there's been a lot of effort by the governor and the legislature to help Maricopa County, but there's a whole state outside of Maricopa County, and I want to do everything I can to bring good jobs to Arizona. First and foremost, to get that done, I'd like to get rid of our income tax so that we can compete with Texas and Florida, who don't have income tax. And and be a great place to do business. And then the last thing, which everybody out there, I think, is really, really concerned about, is education. And whether it's dealing with critical race theory in the schools or whatever the local or whatever the most current Marxist issue they're trying to jam down kids' throats, I'd like to make sure that Arizona is a place where real education is taking place, where it's about math, science, and civics, and trade education, and not some of these woke agendas.
All right, Congressman, half the interview is already over, and you've pretty much laid out your agenda, but I didn't get a chance to, and I didn't hear COVID mentioned at all in any of your points there. Do you think the Governor Ducey's done a good job with controlling the COVID outbreak?
Well, first of all, there's really no playbook, you know, when it came to COVID, and so I'm not going to be critical. I would point to another state, Florida, Governor DeSantis, where I think they handled things a little bit better. I truly do believe that it was a mistake to shut down businesses. I also believe that the best thing to do when it comes to COVID, look, I've personally been vaccinated. My wife's been vaccinated. But I personally believe that's a choice. That's a personal choice people need to make. I don't believe in government mandates. I believe the answer really is study it out, determine with your doctor and yourself what's best for you and your family, and then act accordingly.
So you wouldn't have done anything different than the governor in handling?
No, I would not have shut down business. I would have, okay. And he did shut down business.
Okay.
I would not have shut down business. I would have kept business open, and I would have done more like they did in Florida, focused on the people who are really vulnerable, senior citizens and people with comorbidities, instead of shutting down our economy. I would not have done that.
You said on your website you don't want Arizona to become like California.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 100% right. I think California, which is overtaxed, overregulated, is finding a mass exodus right now. And we're getting a lot of folks move here from California, a lot. In fact, I've been crisscrossing the state, you know, for the last 3 months, time and again. And I just want those folks to come here and remember why they left California in the first place, and don't bring those policies with you. Let's Arizona has more freedom, more opportunity, and more growth than any other state in the union. Let's keep it that way.
We're speaking with former Congressman Matt Salmon. Are you seeking the endorsement of the former President Donald Trump, Matt Salmon?
Well, I've gotten endorsements from lots and lots of folks. You know, if he decides to endorse me, that's great. But, you know, more than anything, I want the endorsement of the people in Arizona. I want their support. You know, I am my own guy, and I believe very, very strongly in a conservative way of doing things. And I'm hoping that more than anything, I'll win the voters in Arizona. That's the most important people I want the endorsements from.
Is the Republican Party still open to those that don't believe in the former president?
Absolutely. This is I'm a big tent guy. You know, we're big enough to accept all comers. We want folks that will come into the party and help us to be successful. You know, Ronald Reagan once said, if a person is with you 80% of the time, that's a friend. And so I'm not a litmus test kind of a guy. And when I'm governor of the state, I want to be the governor for everybody. But I absolutely believe that the Republican Party is big enough for a whole host of different views.
Has the party moved away from perhaps the centrist party that you knew when you were running for Congress, and actually going all the way back to your days in the Arizona legislature?
You know, when I first got involved in the Republican Party, I think the moniker from a lot of people was that the Republican Party was the party of corporate America and the party of Wall Street and business. And I think we've morphed into a party that's more in line with the normal run-of-the-mill taxpayer. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think trying to help people who are trying to raise their families and trying to figure out how to make ends meet, trying to figure out how to put braces on their kids and how to pay for college, those are the people that we should be representing. And, you know, along the way, yes, we should do everything we can to strengthen small business so that they can grow and succeed and hire more people. But along the way, I think that it's not a bad thing at all. In fact, it's a really good thing to remember that we're about the common common people, the people that do everything in our towns and our cities, and do most of the living and the dying and the earning and contributions to the community. So I think it's a good thing to be a party, scene that's for everybody.
All right, Matt Salmon, where can people find out more about you and the campaign?
Well, they can go to my website, which is mattsalmon4az.com. And remember, salmon is spelled just like the fish. It's S-A-L-M-O-N, and it's mattsalmon4az.com. And, Bill, I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. It's a true honor.
Thank you very much. I remember when I did the TV show on Channel 6 on PBS for 22 years, starting in 1988, we had you on the TV show a lot. And so it's good to reconnect with you, sir.
It really is great to reconnect. I really appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Arizona Republican gubernatorial hopeful Matt Salmon here on the Buckmaster Show. Now it's time to talk about my favorite bakery in town. I was talking yesterday, and I talked a little bit about it last week. I'd been dreaming of one of their chocolate croissants. I made that dream come true on Sunday. And one thing I didn't say when I was talking about Mona's yesterday, John, about the little dessert I bought for myself for later in the day, and it was one of their giant peanut butter cookies. So I had half on Sunday and half yesterday. The thing was like, the size of a Frisbee. Not quite that big, but it was big. But anyway, Mona's Danish Bakery, they're open right now for lunch, home of the Danish Kringle and a lot of other great pastries and bakery goods and great breads. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com. You can order your bakery goods ahead of time on the website. You can call ahead so they're ready when you are, or just go into the bakery, look what is in the case, then it's up to you. Then the big decision, what am I going to take home? Or eat at the bakery. All right, Buckmaster Show continues with Shelley Fishman. Shelley's with me in studio, and Shelley is giving me, it looks like it's kind of a neutral day on the market. We'll find out about that and a lot of other things with Mr. Fishman after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And I can contact him right now because he's with me in studio. Mr. Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you?
I am well, Bill. I don't want to take responsibility for yesterday, but I'm well.
Well, it happened on a Monday. Those things normally happen on Tuesdays. But now today, there's kind of like a little bit of a hangover. Market's up a little bit, but waiting for the Fed this week or what?
Well, and I think the fact that there is a Fed Open Market Committee meeting this week and we'll hear something about their forecasts for the balance of the year and into next year tomorrow afternoon. I think what you know, the big investors were doing was sending the Fed a message saying, leave things alone.
Yes.
Don't change anything right now. You know, keep buying up bonds and keep interest rates down, and we'll all do fine because the economy is doing fine. Do not screw that up, sir.
Yeah, but if they do that, do you think that will satisfy the markets right now?
For now, but keep in mind, this market is a little bit overbought, maybe more than a little bit overbought.
Everybody's talking correction.
Well, people are talking correction. That's, you know, 5 to 10%. We lost 3 yesterday.
Yep.
During the early morning, we gained about 2/3 of it back and then lost that again as the day progressed. There's nothing fundamentally different yesterday or the day before from last Friday. We're still, you know, within 3 or 4 points of record highs. So I'm not too worried about this. If there is a 5 or 7 or 8% correction, I would not be surprised.
Where are we going with infrastructure?
Well, I think infrastructure is going to happen, despite the fact that the Democrats are, you know, in their usual circles shooting each other.
Mm-hmm.
However, what is really important, at least to the Biden administration, is the Build Back Better plan, and you know, that $3.5 billion, and what we got some clarity into over the past couple of days.
That's Plan A. Then there's kind of the Plan B.
Well, they've got a B and a C, and okay, we don't know how far down the 3.5.
The focus is the Biden administration wants the Build Better plan.
The Biden administration has three things that they believe they need to do before the 2022 election. One is the infrastructure plan. You can call it $1.5 trillion, you can call it $1.2 trillion. That's been passed now by the Senate. Needs to get passed by the House, and there are some people taking pot shots at it. The Build Back Better plan, which is going to wind up less than $3.5 trillion, but if the Democrats don't shoot each other and, you know, fatally over the next couple of weeks, that'll come in at around $2.8-2.9 trillion. And what's interesting to investors is how it gets paid for. And right now, the Democrats, at least in what they've surfaced, is a backing off of the tax the rich proposals that, you know, people like Bernie Sanders and others have said we absolutely need to do. What they're doing is, you know, a marginal raise in the highest marginal rates to 27.5% from 22%. You know, it's all on the highest income brackets. Now, remember, those income brackets got lowered just 4 years ago, and everybody was doing fine 4 years ago. So, you know, this is not going to be felt too badly by anybody. Raising the corporate rate from 21% up to about 27.5% rather than 28%, you know, whatever gets finally passed, again, is not going to make a heck of a lot of difference, since those rates are significantly down from where they were. It's the closing of loopholes that could really be important for some of these corporations. And what we're seeing is, one by one, those loopholes are remaining open because, quite frankly, the lobbying effort, you know, on the part of the people who have the most stake in that, in that outcome is very, very high.
Would that be enough money to cover this?
No. But that's okay, because, you know, the new economics, you know, says that to a very large extent, you don't have to pay for things so long as you're borrowing money at very low interest rates. Mm-hmm. Now, you can agree with that or not agree with it, but if you know, let's just say for argument's sake, we get a $2.5 trillion plan, of which 1.8 or 1.9 trillion is paid for, you know, everybody will declare a victory and go home.
Mm-hmm. But you're saying that's the new reality.
That is the new reality. The Biden administration needs those two things. They need some measure of voter rights protection to counteract some of the, you know, really aggressively anti-voter policies that are being put forth by some,
in a whole lot of states.
About 18 or 19 of the Republican states. You know, and you can claim that they're not intended to be anti-black or anti-minority, but as a reasonable person would look at those things and say they are extreme and intended to solve a problem that doesn't really exist. So those three things are what the Biden administration really needs to declare success in the first 2 years of its presidency, and then take those things to the public in the 2022 election. If they do that, they have a reasonable chance, I think, of holding on to both houses. If they don't do that, then I think the American public will take a look at them and say, you didn't get it done, guys.
You know, the upward mobility and of the middle class has created now, in many ways, we can't fill certain jobs anymore in this country.
We have a huge problem with income inequality. We have a huge problem with a middle class that is not prepared for the jobs that pay middle class incomes. And, you know, we see that to a certain extent in West Virginia, where a Joe Manchin, who I like, I mean, the guy's a really intelligent guy, but he's got so many interests that relate to, you know, carbon fuels and the coal industry, that by supporting that and keeping it on the front burner, in a way, it's preventing the West Virginia, you know, middle class from reemerging into something that's meaningful. Because right now, I think there's, you know, something like, I think it's fewer than 20,000 jobs in coal mining in West Virginia, but over 100,000 in healthcare. Mm. There are things that we need to do in this economy to retrain the middle class, to make them upwardly mobile. You know, right now the middle class hasn't had a pay raise in almost 40 years when you factor in inflation.
Right.
All of the gains in GDP have gone to the top, you know, arguably 10% of earners in the country. That has tremendous impact on the politics of this country. And we have to figure out a way to make the middle class again.
Shelley, you'll be on the road. It'd be interesting to hear some of your reports coming up from New Mexico and Colorado.
Yeah, through a road trip.
Yeah,
driving it and mm-hmm. and you know just hoping to just kind of refuel, re-tank up,
yeah.
if you will. It's been too many now, a year and a half, too many months, kind of locked in the house here in Tucson. Want to get out of the heat. Want to get up to the mountains and just get away from politics and get mm-hmm. away from economics for a while. But I will be, now the third week I'll be gone. You'll be gone too.
So yeah, we'll be also right. up in the Santa Fe, northern New Mexico.
Wise choice.
Area.
Yeah. Wise choice.
It's a perfect time of year, you know, the cool mornings and lovely days.
And great place to do good hikes.
Yeah, and some advice from our guest yesterday. We always love Professor Silvertooth from the University of Arizona. Was on the show yesterday, Shelley, and he just came back from an epic road trip, 4,400 miles.
My gosh,
throughout
that's a lot of
throughout
driving.
The West. And as we were joking, if you're in a diner or wherever you are, there's always one area you can still talk about safely. How's the weather?
Right.
There you go.
Right, and it better be good. I got to, yeah. you know, I've got a promise from the weatherman.
There
the weather's going to be
no,
perfect
weather
for three
is
weeks.
Good. It will be perfect. All right, Shelley, have a great trip. We'll talk to you from
See
on
you
the
month.
Road. All right, thanks a lot. We'll take our break right here.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. This portion presented by Green Things and Zocalo Village. Green Things, perfect time of year to do some planting. They're over at 3384 East River Road, open 7 days a week by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a 13-acre site, and believe me, they've got everything you could possibly need for your garden. If you have any questions, and most of us do when we go there because we're not experts, most of us, in what would do very well in our particular climate, their very knowledgeable staff, they will, believe me, have the answers. Their website, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business, Zocalo Village, it's zocalovillage.com, where they have all that great merchandise, much of it handcrafted, from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, is Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine, Executive Director of the Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. She's also a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health, an internationally recognized leader in integrative medicine, and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She is the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you, Bill.
I want to talk about ventilation and COVID. This has been in the news. A lot of people have questions about the role of air quality and COVID. And the New York Times had a very instructive piece recently about six questions to ask about COVID and air quality. I thought maybe we could dig deep into that article.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just going to say the first one makes good common sense, and that's open the window if you can. You know, a lot of buildings, sadly, in fact, the buildings we call modern buildings, don't always allow the window to be open. Maybe there's a door you could open or prop open so that you're getting more fresh air into the building. But if your windows do open, absolutely open them, and even think about putting a fan up so that you're getting more cross ventilation and more air movement.
Ventilation systems and filters are extremely important, Dr. Mazes.
Yes. Buildings have filters. They're often called MERV, which stands for Minimum Efficiency Reporting Values, and that quantifies how well those filtration systems work. They weren't necessarily designed to control for infection, you know, more air pollutants, et cetera. But it turns out that if you have a MERV 13 filter or higher, that traps 85% or more of the particles. So that's a really good place to begin. Some buildings can't handle that MERV 13. It just takes too much energy. The system isn't up to handling it. But I think what we're going to talk about here is that it's the synergistic effect. The more of these things you can do, the better.
Yeah, and many times we can't control the air quality of the building. Maybe you could control a particular room, but controlling a building is, you know, kind of out of the question. So that's a problem.
Yeah, but it still pays to ask the questions.
Sure.
Buildings are often segmented where they each have their own system of air filtration or HVAC. Everyone's heard of HVAC systems, which stands for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. So it's something that you can ask, and people become more and more sophisticated, especially the facilities management people, and they're doing their best to really upgrade these systems. Sometimes they've already been upgraded. For example, our center is in a building that was renovated about 3 or 4 years ago, and you know it has very good ventilation because of that, even though we don't have windows that open.
All right, let's go back and again on this list. Open the window, perhaps use a portable air cleaner. What else, Dr. Mazes?
Well, let's talk a little bit about that portable air cleaner. People have often heard of these things called HEPA filters.
Right.
And HEPA filters actually are quite good at removing viruses, viral particles from the air, if you have the right size machine for the size of the space. And that's something that is pretty clearly marked if you, you know, pay attention to, well, what is the square footage of that room, and therefore, what size do you need? And these can be easily researched online. But just as an example, there was a study in a hospital in Australia, in Melbourne, actually, and they showed that if they added two of these portable air cleaners to a patient's room, they got rid of 99% of the aerosols in minutes.
Mm.
And that equaled about 30 air changes per hour, which is another one of the factors that we can look at, the number of air changes per hour. But yes, those HEPA filters really do a good job.
You know, people have been dining outdoors in the time of COVID. Some folks say that if you are dining indoors and if the door is open, that's a big advantage as well. Have you heard that?
That is true, because that's going to increase ventilation. You know, probably we've all experienced that if we drive in a car, say at night, and we have 3 or 4 people in the car, and mm-hmm. the windows are closed, we start to get a little sleepy. You know, that may not just be because it's nighttime. It may be because our carbon dioxide level is building up in the space, and that makes us a little sleepy. So opening the window there can help. And the same is true if you're in that restaurant, it's relatively small, you're building up carbon dioxide and all of the other things that we exhale each time we take an exhalation. And so opening the door or the windows can make a difference. But I would say dining outdoors is better yet. And we're now moving into our lovely evening weather. And
yes.
So I'd encourage people when they can to eat outdoors.
Now, you mentioned carbon dioxide. The carbon dioxide sensors, are they a good idea to have in your home or your business?
Well, this is another way that people are trying to monitor how well a ventilation system is working. And so there are these CO2 detection devices. Sometimes air quality experts use them. I'm not really aware of people using them in their own home. In your own home, you probably wouldn't have to worry about this because I would guess you have some windows that open, some doors that open. You're not in, you know, a closed kind of multi-story office building. But it would be a good idea in commercial buildings to be sure that someone is doing some measurement. And that is one of the ways of telling just broadly how well is that ventilation system or systems, as we've talked about, there are lots of different steps you could take working.
Yeah, and generally, what do we know about COVID and indoor airspace, Dr. Mazes?
Well, I mean, we had a lot of questions at the beginning
yes.
of the pandemic about how do you get COVID, and we were very worried about surfaces that we might touch. But we've learned very clearly that this is an airborne infection, that the particles that you exhale can linger in the room. They can float in the air. It's very, very lightweight. They can build up in spaces that have poor airflow, for example, a conference room with bad airflow. And there are some examples in well-documented situations where lots of people were infected when there was poor ventilation. And this is not just COVID. This is other kinds of infections as well that are known that poorly ventilated areas increase the risk of infection. So we really consider this a critically important piece now to creating a safe indoor working environment. And, you know, if none of these things can be addressed, then I think it's worth seeing whether you can spend more time working from home.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
I mean, one last example. Sure. A group that's done it really well are the airlines, right? The
yes.
airplanes are yes. doing amazing air exchange where they have every single hour, 10 to 20 air changes, full air changes per hour. And that's, you know, probably 10 times as good as many other buildings, even though what's recommended is 4 to 6 air changes per hour. So, you know, that should give people some more comfort actually when they fly. That's one of the places where this air filtration and good ventilation is really being done well.
Certainly improving indoor air quality, whether it's in your office, your home, or on an airplane, is a really powerful tool. Dr. Mazza, stick around. We've got more with you. But right now, let's take a break. It's Buckmaster on a Tuesday afternoon.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Don't you love these mornings? This morning just felt, it felt like fall. And this is a great time of year to get in the car or the truck and take the 3-hour drive over to a beautiful area of the Southwest, in particular the Southwest area of the Land of Enchantment, New Mexico. I'm talking about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. There's a lot to do over there. Lots of outdoor hiking available and just kind of hanging out and enjoying a really different environment for the things to do. And there are a lot of them and the places to stay. There are some great places to stay. Please visit Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, then .org. Let's continue now with our conversation with Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and the Executive Director of the Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. I want to talk about movement and good health, Dr. Mazes. Plenty of research already has suggested that people who are active outlive those who seldom move. So I want to talk a little bit about how much movement might be a good thing each day if possible.
Yeah, it's such an interesting question. You know, for a long time, we've had this number of 10,000 steps, but it turns out that that probably hadn't been researched well enough. And so many of us, I know, I have a smartphone that counts my steps. I don't even have to wear an Apple Watch or a Fitbit or some other device. I just have it automatically happening. And then I get curious about how much have I done and, you know, am I close to 10,000? And it has this kind of loop. I don't know. Does that happen to you?
Oh, yeah. But I hope you're saying you don't need to do 10,000 a day.
Well, you know, it turns out it takes a good amount of time to get to that 10,000.
Yes, it does.
And you know, it's not so easy for many people. So maybe this new research will make you feel a little better, which is that there's two new studies that have been published in the past couple of months that show that 7,000 to 8,000 steps might be the sweet spot. You know, they're really good studies. They're prospective. In other words, a lot of studies are retrospective, that we look backwards in time, or they're subjective. We ask people about how far do you walk, but these were both prospective, and they used a device to actually measure steps.
And some of those people were active in sports, tennis, cycling, swimming, jogging, even badminton.
Yeah, so that was the second study. That was a study that was done. It was published in the Mayo Clinic Proceedings, a very good journal. It was done in Copenhagen, and it's a long, ongoing study that asked people how much they play sports or exercise. And it looked at close to 9,000 Danish people, and this was a subjective. This was a self-report, so people report how much they exercised, and then they calculated about how many steps was that. And they found that in this group that people who were exercising about 7,000 to 8,000 steps on most days were improving their longevity. And it was measured by, they first collected this data in the 1990s, and then they looked to see 25 years or so later how many had died. They found that you were less likely to die, 40% less likely to die, if you were exercising between 2.6 and 4.5 hours per week.
Mm. So there's documentation showing a correlation between living longer and exercise.
Absolutely, and lots of studies have shown this, but this sort of documented this with steps, and I like the other study better. I won't surprise you with what I said earlier. This was published in JAMA Network Open, and it was the CARDIA study, which is coronary artery risk development in young adults. So they actually had people, when they were between 38 and 50 years old, wear an accelerometer, and they wore it for a week. So they measured how many steps. This was not a calculator. calculated or a self-report. It was an actual measurement. And then 10 years later, they pulled the records for over 2,000 of the participants, and they checked to see how many had passed away. Only 72 people, which isn't so surprising because, remember, they were just 38 to 50 when they were first enrolled in the study. But they found that men and women who had at least 7,000 daily steps were 50% less likely to have died than those who took less than 7,000 steps. And if you took closer to 9,000 steps, you were 70% less likely to have an early death. So, you know, that is, you know, giving us this kind of specificity of how much exercise. Okay, if you're measuring it in steps, you really do want to do somewhere between 7 and 9,000.
And if you're out walking even 10 to 15 minutes as a supplement to your normal walking throughout the day, that would add up, I would think, toward that 7,000, add up pretty quickly.
Excellent point. Mm-hmm. So accumulating your exercise through the day. In other words, you know, for some people, they're going to go and they're going to take a 45-minute walk in the evening.
Right.
Or they're going to be someone who wakes up at 6 a.m. and takes a long walk in the morning. And that's fine. But for other people, it's going to fit better in their day if they take a 10-minute walk, maybe walk the dog in the morning, maybe take a break from your job, you know, the old-fashioned coffee break, and mm-hmm. go take a walk, you know, in the morning, maybe a little one at mealtime, at lunchtime, some further in the evening. And in that way, perhaps you've done four 10-minute walks, and that adds up to your 40 minutes and is significant.
Yeah, the cumulative is a big deal to a lot of people. A lot of people, if they think, well, I've got to do 40 minutes or something at some point, they're just not going to do it. They're going to say they can't work it into their day, but you broke it down very nicely. So this is really, this is good news, I think, to those of us who were kind of thinking, oh, 10,000 seems like a lot, but I think the important thing here is to get up and move, correct?
Absolutely. And the truth is, in this study, as in many others, there's a linear kind of relationship where if you do a little, you get a little benefit, and if you do a moderate amount, you get a moderate amount, and then they're saying 7,000 to 9,000 steps gives you a maximal benefit. And actually, in these studies, it was maximal because it turned out that people who did more than 10 hours of activity a week in that second study, or more than 10,000 in the first, did not do better. So there was some ceiling effect where you could almost call that over-exercising, and that the benefits either plateaued or actually they declined in the study that came out of Copenhagen.
All right, Dr. Mazes, do you want to point our listeners toward your website there for the center?
Sure. So our website is azcim.org, and we got lots of wonderful information for the public there. We have a free app that people can use. We have a podcast where we talk to different kinds of integrative medicine health professionals, and we have quite a bit of information as well of how to reduce your risk of being exposed to COVID and information about the vaccine. So you might find something of interest there.
All right. Dr. Victoria Mazes, is always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Dr. Victoria Mazes, her website is victoriamazesmd.com, or you can follow her at Twitter at vmazes. That's M-A-I-Z-E-S. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. I think we got a lot of material here in a 55-minute period. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you learned something. Coming up next, Dave Ramsey, his very popular show on money. The Buckmaster Show, meanwhile, comes back tomorrow. Real interesting show tomorrow. We're going to talk about nonstop air service out of Tucson. How do we get better air service out of Tucson? Plus, the mayor will be here with me, Mayor Regina Romero. Lots coming up tomorrow. Meanwhile, have a great afternoon, everybody.